Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Lehem Panim. Last week we saw in Acts chapter 11 how the gospel was brought to the city of Antioch by some Christians from Cyprus and Cyrene who come and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the Hellenists there. And there's a great spiritual harvest as many of those Hellenists turn in faith to Jesus Christ. And it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now, you'll remember Barnabas from chapter 4, in which he sold a piece of property, and he donated all the proceeds from that sale to meet the needs of the poor. He was the one that Ananias and Sapphira were trying to appear as good as. And he truly was a good man because of how sold out he was to Jesus. And because of that, God was able to use him in some amazing ways. He was used by God to be an influence on the Jerusalem church on Paul's behalf, helping them to accept him, which we see in Acts chapter 9. He was also a leading teacher in the church and demonstrated love, a gentle spirit, generosity, and perhaps most importantly, encouragement. The name Barnabas, which remember had been given to him by the apostles, it literally means son of encouragement. And it was likely because of that chief defining characteristic in his life that the apostles sent him as their representative. They knew they couldn't send someone who was rigid and legalistic. No, they needed someone who knew how to show others the love of Jesus Christ. Now, Fred Craddock, who taught at Candler School of Theology at Emory University, he once said this, and he says it so well. He says, "To give my life for Christ, that appears glorious. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, you know, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory." We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us, he says, is that he sends us to the bank. God sends us to the bank. And he has us cash in that $1,000 for quarters. And we go through life putting out 25 cents here, 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor kids' troubles instead of saying get lost. Go to a committee meeting, give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually, he says, giving our life to Christ, it isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy, he says, to go out in a flash of glory. But it's much harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. But that's what radical conversion is. It's being faithful when no one cares and no one notices. It's spending our 25 cents doing the right thing when no one is watching, when we could have easily given in to the wrong thing. It's being faithful in the mundane and ordinariness of everyday life, when it may have been more exciting to do something else or to give in to laziness by doing nothing at all. It's being faithful to God when it doesn't seem to matter. It's doing the right thing even in the small things. It's being a person of character when everyone else is simply pleasing themselves. It's being willing to stand out when everyone else is conforming. This is the proof that we have encountered the living Christ. It's the proof that there's been a radical change in our lives and that we'll never be the same again. It's the radical conversion that marks us as disciples of Jesus. And it was this type of conversion that made the ministry of Barnabas so powerful. Everywhere he went, he had a handful of quarters ready to hand out. And in addition to this, he also had the spiritual discernment to recognize how God was moving and how to respond, which we'll see in a minute. But he was also the perfect choice because he was a Cypriot Jew, which we read of in chapter 4. And he would therefore be perceived as one of them rather than an outsider. All of these things combined to make Barnabas the perfect man for the job. And we see it in the very next verse. It says, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Now, not all Jews would have been glad. Some would have been extraordinarily displeased, but not Barnabas. He rejoiced at this new outpouring of the grace of God. It didn't matter what race these people were. He was simply thrilled to be witnessing the hand of God at work. And like always, he was eager to encourage them. And so it says, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Now, at this point, the church in Antioch is running into a problem. It's growing too fast. Would that every church might have that problem. But it was a real problem. And Barnabas suddenly finds himself overwhelmed with converts. And he knows he needs help. And so it says in verse 25, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And that wasn't easy because several years had passed since Saul had fled to his home in Tarsus. Philippians 3:8 reveals that Saul had apparently been disinherited because of his faith and forced to leave his home in Jerusalem. And at this point, he was very difficult to find. It says Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And that phrase to look for, anazeteo in Greek, it actually suggests a laborious search, one that's very difficult. Now, eventually, Barnabas catches up with Saul. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. Now, I would have loved to get to sit under that teaching. And think about it. I mean, Saul, he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. A man who had formerly despised Gentiles and who persecuted all the followers of Christ that he could. But he's now ministering to Gentiles and he's helping to disciple Gentile Christians. I mean, once again, God has an awesome sense of humor. Now, once again, keep in mind that these Gentiles, they knew very little, if any, scripture. They weren't like the Jews, many of whom could quote massive chunks of the Old Testament by memory, if not the full Old Testament. No, they had to be taught the very basics. And Saul and Barnabas are therefore introducing these new believers to much of what you and I learned in Sunday school or vacation Bible school. I mean, the very basics. But the basics, as we've said before, were enough to churn up a mighty moving of the hand of God. And we see that in what follows. Luke adds here what might seem at first glance to be only kind of a nice little fact to have tucked away in a footnote somewhere. He says, in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now this term Christian, it means of the party of Christ. And it was a term of derision and scorn. Oh, you Christians. And that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. And that's what these early believers did. They glorified God in that name. They took that name and they owned it, even wearing it as a badge of honor. It's interesting, the historian Eusebius, in writing about the Christian martyr Sanctus, he said that Sanctus, when being questioned by his torturers, he gave them a very simple answer. He said, I am a Christian. He bore that name with absolute pride. Now, what this title Christian also reveals to us is that in addition to being a badge of honor, it also showed that these early Christians were starting to have an identity apart from other Jews. And at this point in the history of the church, there's an interesting turn of events. It says in verse 27 and following, Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. And for your information, this was actually during the years AD 41 to AD 45. Just as Agabus predicted, severe famines inflicted Israel. And there were several ancient writers, such as Tacitus, Josephus, Suetonius, they all attest to this. And it's interesting, you know, when we evaluate a new Christian movement, or perhaps a specific church like this one here in Antioch, one of the first things to always look for is whether or not the people are demonstrating the same love, the same compassion for people that Jesus himself had demonstrated. Because if not, if that movement or if that church is more focused on programs than it is on people, or on causes rather than on actually meeting the needs of the lost and the needy, look somewhere else. Because that movement or that church has nothing to do with Christ. But the church here in Antioch, even at this very early stage, it passes this test with flying colors. Because it says, "So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." Now, this is amazing because normally when a church takes an offering on behalf of a special mission, rarely, very rarely, will every person in the church give. And even on the rare occasions where that happens, people rarely give until it hurts. And yet here, the members of the church in Antioch, the text says everyone, took a look at their finances and evaluated how much they could possibly give and then gave according to that amount. And even then, they may have pushed the envelope on that a little bit. There's no talk of percentages or bumping up their tithe a tad. No, they're simply the picture given to us of every Christian saying, "By God's grace, I see a need. And I'm going to do as much as I possibly can to meet that need." And you know, that ought to lead us to ask what needs there might be in our area that we have not yet thought of. Coronavirus has put a lot of things on hold. Unfortunately, not poverty, not hunger, not addiction, or any of the other many things afflicting society today. And that's why more than ever, the world needs us to be the church, to be people like Barnabas, like Saul, like these early Christians, to be the hands and feet of Christ. You know, every week, my kids have chapel at their Christian school. And on many of the mornings that they have chapel, you know, me and my wife will put a dollar in their backpacks for them to put in the offering plate. And when that offering plate comes to them, they proudly put it in, feeling like they made this great contribution. But let me ask you, I don't want to minimize that at all because it's very beautiful there, their desire to give. But let me ask you, where did that bill ultimately come from? From us. Now, you might say God, and that's true. It goes God to us, to them. But from us, we gave those bills to them so that they could experience the joy of contributing to a mission that we, in fact, were supporting. But sometimes we as adults forget that in a similar way, what has been given to us from God is not meant for us either. God has entrusted to us the talents and means he always intended us to use to invest in the lives of others. And the question is, are we doing that? Is my Christian walk all about Christ and what he has done for me? Or is it also about what God is doing through me? I want to encourage you today, let us be a body of believers that gives faithfully of our talents, of our time, and our means to meet the needs of a lost and needy world. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word. and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.